This podcast is not safe for work and will feature movie spoilers. It will feature scenes described of a graphic nature. It will contain language which most listeners may find offensive. Welcome to the podcast Under the Stairs. Hi everyone and welcome to the podcast Under the Stairs. This is bonus episode 223. I'm your host Duncan McLeish. Welcome to the show. On this episode we are reviewing a brand new horror title. We are doing Daniel Isn't Real. Now this has a limited theatrical run in the UK. When I say limited, about 3 days per city, and is formally released already by way of Blu-ray distribution from Arrow Video. So you can go out and get it right now. It is available. You will be able to find it. The cinema run is finished. It's concluded. It's done. So the only way to see it now is on physical media. So go out and check it out for sure. This will be a non-spoiler and spoiler review of this movie. So in a non-spoiler review coming up after the first break, you can check that out safe in the knowledge that I will not spoil any particular plot details. In the spoiler part, I will. There's no getting around that. We will be talking about bits and bobs that make or break this movie. So, as always, you can check the chapter listing in your podcatcher device and skip beyond the spoiler part if you so wish. You can either switch it off if you've not seen it, so just switch the whole episode off and then check it back at a later date when you've checked the movie out. Or if you have seen the movie or you do not give a fuck, just continue listening. It could not be any easier, ladies and gents. But Daniel Isn't Real is a movie we're covering on bonus episode 223. Now, there's one episode left in this 4-episode week. It comes tomorrow. It is our Arrow Video Assortment episode, and we're looking at Demons 2 by Lamberto Bava. That is your movie closing out this week in a suitably fashionable sort of way. I like it. I'm looking forward to it. And it's been a while since I've seen Demons 2, so I have no idea whether or not it actually holds up. My memory is it's bonkers fun. You will find out tomorrow if that memory is right or wrong. In terms of next week, we are sliding back into what feels like a repeat pattern here of another 4-episode week. And we will start that 4-episode week with a bang on Monday. You get a very special review coming up on Monday. Very similar how I've been doing this year anyway, picking one movie and just kind of spitballing, getting in deep with it. We will be starting Monday with a bang as I do a special one-off review of a movie I've covered before with other guests, but never as a standalone review. Well, that's right. Strap yourself in when I tackle a little bit of Lucio Fulci and we do one of my all-time favourite releases by the maestro, the godfather of gore. We are looking at his second movie in the Gates of Hell trilogy. We are doing The Beyond. So a special solo review of The Beyond coming up on Monday. So keep your eyes peeled for that. During the week, you'll get a bonus episode covering all sorts of different weird shit. A bonus episode covering the brand new horror title Underwater. And then when we swing into Sunday, we will be doing Rats. That's right, as part of our 88 Films Italian collection. So that is you up to date. Over on the Teapots Collective, though, there is always a lot happening. But this past Friday, we dropped a brand new installment of Opera Omnia Season 1. It was episode number 2, looking at Kill List. A phenomenally fun and informative episode dropped, so go and check that one out. It dropped on Friday. This coming Friday on the Teapots Collective, though, you will get the next installment, the closing review of Chapter 1 of Season 3 of Chronicle. We're looking at Cry of the Banshee from 1970, looking at folk horror in the UK. So that's our final movie in that chapter. So check that out this coming Friday. Make sure you subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts to Tea Putts Collective, and you will never miss anything that I put out over on that channel. Right, I'm going to take a very short break just now. You're going to hear promos for shows that I love. You are also, ladies and gents, going to hear the trailer for Daniel Isn't Real. When we return, we'll first be looking at a non-spoiler and then moving into spoiler review of this movie. Coming right up, right after this.
Hey, feeling down? Feeling low? Not enough podcasts about movies in your life? Why not try?
They must be destroyed on sight!
The new podcast cure-all, sure to get you right with the world and on a path to better living. We have exploitation, we have Italian horror, we have zombies, we have slashers, we have crime films, we have spaghetti westerns, we even have sci-fi and sex comedies. So take a dose of...
They must be destroyed on sight!
As needed, and let the hosts, Lee Russell, Daniel Harper, Paul Romali, and the odd guest host cure what ails you.
Warning, may cause atrophy, African consumption, black fever, bone shave, tin cough, colic, cramp colic, dropsy of the brain, elephantitis, grocer's itch, jaundice, mania, miasma, mortification, palsy, Pott's disease, rheumatism, scurvy, St. Anthony's fire, summer complaint, and worm fit in some people. Consult a physician before listening.
It's common for people to see things that aren't real. Have you ever seen things like this before?
I had an imaginary friend when I was a kid. His name was Daniel. He was my best friend. He was my only friend.
It's kind of a strange notion, but maybe you should try to connect with that part of yourself again.
You needed my help.
Last time I saw you, you were this kid bursting with imagination.
You need to break out and live.
I bet you can get a phone number from any girl at this party.
You're a painter?
You're an artist too, Luke.
I do photography sometimes.
I'm here because you're here. I'm part of you.
What's that thing behind me?
Your shadow. I saw something full of danger. Mystery.
He's taking over. It's making me do things that I don't want to do.
You did this.
I imagined you. I can make you go away.
Daniel is simply an aspect of your mind.
I'm scared of what I could do. When you painted me, you saw a shadow. What did he look like?
He's weak. He's lonely. And he's nothing without me.
And welcome back, ladies and gents. So, you have just heard the trailer for our feature movie review. Daniel Isn't Real from 2020 in the UK. It got released essentially for about 3 days per city in the UK. Arrow Video are handling distribution. It is now out on Blu-ray, so you can go and buy it. I saw it in the cinema. I'm glad that I did because I had a ball checking this one out in the cinema. But yeah, you can now check it out on Blu-ray. So go forth, purchase yourself a wee copy, support this indie horror filmmaker. This is released via Spectre Vision. Spectre Vision is the company that is co-owned by Elijah Wood. And so as a result of this, plasters all over the posters are things like, from the producers of Mandy, because Mandy was obviously their big hit last year, and rightly so. What a phenomenal fucking movie. Well, 2 years ago now, isn't it? That feels weird to say that, 2 years ago for Mandy. But yeah, they're playing into that for sure, and there is a bit of kind of shared DNA in terms of how the movie looks. We're going to touch on that in a second. But yeah, so they're the producers behind it. This one is directed by Adam Egypt Mortimer. He has done a lot of shorts. I think he did one of the shorts in that holiday kind of anthology thing that I was actually not really interested with, if I'm honest with you. There was a whole lot of who gives a fuck in that anthology. But this is him breaking out his first feature, can't say that, first feature kind of release. It's based on the Brian DeLuise novel. And has been through various different adaptations for screenwriting, etc., etc. The cast, the main two casts here are Miles Robbins and Patrick Schwarzenegger. That's right, we have a Schwarzenegger in this movie. We also have Sasha Lane, Mary Stuart Masterson, Hannah Marks. We've got Peter McRobbie, Andrew Bridges, Griffin Robert Faulkner, Nathan Chandler Reed, Daniel Marconi, Chase Sui Wonders, and some other folks are in here as well. The synopsis for this one is listed on IMDb. It's a troubled college freshman, Luke, suffers a violent family trauma. He then resurrects his charismatic childhood friend named Daniel to help him cope, not realizing how dangerous Daniel is. So this is a non-spoiler section here, so I'll talk about what I liked, what I disliked in an abstract sort of way, give it a grade, and then we will swing into the spoiler section, which will kind of justify talking about the plot, various bits and bobs, which merit the grade. So what I'll say is the kind of sheer DNA when it comes to how it looks, there is a lot of kind of use of space and colour and kind of cosmicness in Daniel Isn't Real. In certain sections, it's not predominant, it's more like in a couple of scenes, which feels very Mandy. Also, the use of score in here is very Mandy-esque. It kind of goes hand in hand with what you're seeing on the screen, and a lot of this movie is, you know, soundtracked, and that feels very much in a similar vein. So also a kind of veneer on the movie, not particularly in colour, but just how it feels like an indie movie, but an indie movie with a good budget and a steady hand behind the camera, and that in itself plays into kind of how Mandy felt. Mandy felt surprisingly confident for a movie that didn't have a ton of money flung at it. And with that though, I genuinely find the stories really interesting. I love this idea of a kind of imaginary friend taking on a malicious nature. If you are my age, then you grew up with a movie like Drop Dead Fred, which is a ton of fun. And it kind of moves into what happens if your imaginary friend was a bit naughty. You know, and how would that work out? Well, what happens if your imaginary friend was a bit homicidal? How would that work out? So I love that aspect moving into it. It kind of moves beyond that, and we'll touch upon that in the spoiler section, but I really liked that. I think the cast in it is on fucking point. And here, Miles Robbins is Luke, the main character here, who is the one afflicted with an imaginary friend, is brilliant. There are aspects to the way he plays this, first kind of playing it straight and troubled, and at other times playing it kind of more confident and cocky. I think both aspects are portrayed really well on the screen. So I think as that goes, that is kind of phenomenal. I think the role here of the Schwarzenegger kid, Patrick, is absolutely fucking brilliant. It plays this kind of weird combination of... There's a kind of touch of Patrick Bateman in his performance, and certain mannerisms certainly are that of Arnie, like just certain ways he looks at times are very much like that. But there's also a little bit of, in fact, there's a lot of Bret Easton Ellis in his portrayal, even if you've seen movies like Lesson Zero or Rules of Attraction, and just his performance, his character's use of clothing kind of leads into that as well. So I thought that was kind of amazing. There are other people in here, specifically Chikudi Iwuji, who plays the psychiatrist in here. I think he does brilliant because there's a cockiness and arrogance to his role as well, which becomes undone as the movie moves into its kind of final act. So I thought that was really well done as well. So yeah, there is a ton of things in here from a casting point of view that just works for this movie. And that's before we move into Sasha Lane, Mary Masterson and Hannah Marks playing predominant female characters in here, who I also think are brilliant. I think they are really, really good. Some kind of strong female characters that at times portray levels of vulnerability and other times portray levels of of assertiveness, which I think works really well for the overall plot. I think the story's really good as well. Like I said earlier on, I love that idea of taking something as kind of harmless and fairly common and imaginary friends and making it more malicious. The score is brilliant in this movie. I'm not entirely sure who did the soundtrack, but I kind of loved it. I thought it was really, really clever. And the effects as well. The way the effects work out, there are some practical effects in sections, not huge amounts of sections here, which are kind of almost Hellraiser-esque meets maybe something like John Dies at the End, which were two movies that I felt were akin to this, that would fit in comfortably with like a if you were plotting out a triple bill, those two movies would sit in quite nice alongside Daniel Isn't Real. I think it's an immensely confident and really well-crafted little indie movie, for sure. And when it finished at the cinema, I was kind of smiling in that it did exactly what I wanted it to do, while still being a bit aloof and edgy as well. When it came to a grade for this one, I gave it a 4 out of 5. I really, really liked this one, and I will be purchasing it on Blu-ray to go into the collection. It's one of these ones where I'm kind of glad that I checked out the cinema though, because the scope, the sound, and some of the cinematography looked amazing on a big screen, so kind of gifted to see that. But yeah, if you've got a good telly and a good sound system, buy this fucker, shove it on and sit back and enjoy. Trust me, you will enjoy. It's that sort of movie, it's hard not to. And the performances were great, so what else can I say about that one? A 4 out of 5 for this movie. Now, we are about to move into what is known as spoiler territory, so please watch. I'm not going to spoil every aspect of this movie, but I'm going to highlight some of what I did enjoy in terms of context within plot, etc. So this will be a spoiler kind of tinged second section. So if you've not seen this movie and you don't want to know anything about it, use the chapters in your podcatcher, jump ahead to the end of the show. If you're so bold that you've either seen this movie or just don't give a fuck, continue on, because I'm spoiling it in 3, 2, 1. So we're now into spoiler territory. You've been warned. If you're this far, there is no turning back. Well, I say that, you can always hit pause or skip ahead. So Daniel Isn't Real kind of starts off with this kid who is kind of coming from a broken home-ish sort of situation. His parents are arguing constantly. He goes out and comes across this kind of murder scene and is befriended by this kid there, who at first his mum, who is now newly divorced, kind of shines off this kind of idea of him having an imaginary friend, until this imaginary friend, who has a lot of fun with him, starts getting a bit dark, i.e. maybe we should grind up some tablets and put them in mum's drink. And yeah, after he almost accidentally, kills his mum has a kind of intervention, no medical or sort of psychological help here, just they lock this imaginary friend using the power of imaginary friendness logic into a kind of dollhouse as his prison. And we then jump into modern times. He's kind of a misfit, he's struggling, he's not really fitting in. His mum has went full-blown cray-cray since then. And as he's home, kind of one night looking after his mum, he starts to feel that things are unravelling. He has a small kind of psychiatric event of sorts. And he unleashes Daniel, who is now an adult, played by Patrick Schwarzenegger. And yeah, the story kind of moves on from there, with Daniel at first giving him kind of artistic abilities, inspiring his confidence and making him a bit of a ladies' man, telling him what to do, what to say, and kind of really benefiting him in ways that don't make sense. And we're going to touch on that, because there are indications in here that Daniel is not what you think he is in this movie, kind of early on. But essentially they at first start as ways to make him more charming, until we start to realise that Daniel himself wants to kind of control more of the aspects of what Luke is doing in order to partake in things like the carnal pleasures of women and the kind of violence of making Luke stand up for himself against people that boss him around. The movie carries on, and I'm jumping right through this, until a certain point where Daniel himself manages to assume control of the body, and at that point Luke is terrified, is trying everything, including medication, hypnosis, etc., to remove Daniel from his body, and then we find out that Daniel might not be an imaginary friend at all. He might be some sort of spirit or demon who's existed in the ages, kind of jumping from body to body, making the host do horrible things and thus having the host body killed, only to kind of befriend someone else and do exactly the same to them over and over again. He eventually manages to kind of take over Luke's body, tries to kill Luke's girlfriend. Luke fights back, manages to face off with him, and then ultimately, at the end of this movie, Luke sacrifices himself as a way to essentially kill Daniel, but there is no indication that the threat won't continue onwards. Now, when I said the movie kind of hints that there's maybe something a bit more sinister happening here, specifically in things like when he's out with his, well, a woman he's trying to woo, and she's in a library and she's looking at books, and Daniel is behind him reading directly from the book, and Luke's reading it verbatim as if he's seen it. There's an indication here that there's no way he could have seen that book, and his imagination isn't going to fill that up like an imaginary friend would. So there's something more sinister going on. The fact he can actually specifically take control of the body as well, in an almost kind of Fight Club-esque way, kind of hints at a bit more in there as well. Some of the scenes break out in this kind of way, the Hellraiser comparison being that, you know, he unlocks the house to release the spirit, you unlock the box, and you accept the carnal pleasures and pain that comes along with that, which is very much there. Also likened the movie a bit to John Dies at the end, because some of the effects that happen, some of the situations that play out, do not feel out with the realms of something that maybe David Wong would have written in one of those kind of series of books. Or specifically in the movie with the kind of almost stop motion plasticine-esque kind of facial manipulations, which are really, really cool. Both actors, both lead roles here, play it really well. They really work well off each other in a way where there's this kind of weird, almost sinister, buddy-esque sort of quality that's going through it that I kind of love. The movie's at its strongest when it's playing into that, where it's playing up the bravado of the Luke character at the hands of Daniel, and then the hubris that Luke has, that he can afford to ignore this part of his brain that has given him all this without the repercussions, and that works to its advantage. The movie's maybe not at its best when it plays a bit too much into some of the aspects of, I mean, I love the kind of stop motion, twisty, gnarly kind of effects, but if you're not a fan of that sort of genre, or the horror genre, they look a bit cheap and they look a bit nasty, and I can imagine that would turn you off. But for me, it was brilliant. The friend that I was with watching the movie isn't into that, so for that was maybe a wee bit too goofy for him, and he said that it dragged him a bit out of his viewing experience. Whereas to me, it just worked because I'm just used to that sort of cinema. The aspects to do with the kind of the swirling in the brain, or the vortex in which Daniel as an entity exists in this kind of castle, with the colours in the sky being these purples and swirls and smokiness, is all very Mandy-esque, and that's what I was meaning in the first part of this review when I said I can see how people would maybe link those things in, considering it's from Spectavision, the studio that produced Mandy. So that kind of makes sense as well. There's elements to do with the imagination and certain things you see in the movie which don't necessarily make sense. Like earlier on, their sword fight, and you're like, that seems a bit weird that a kid in New York would start to think about sword fighting, but doing it with brooms and using your imagination. When you realise that Daniel as an entity himself exists in a kind of fortress, medieval castle sort of place, And the weapons that he has used within there, that makes total fucking sense. I will also say, there's something inherently gnarly and nasty about how Daniel looks in his real form. This kind of gnarled, skeletal, sort of king-like entity works really, really well. We don't see it much, but the effects for that one are really well done, and I really like that. So, yeah, I mean, the movie kind of goes in a direction you kind of expect it to. The ending wasn't wholly surprising, even though it, you know, might not necessarily be the happiest of endings that you're expecting. It kind of certainly plays out in the way that I thought it would, and as a result of that, felt immensely satisfying when it finished. I don't really have much more to say. I think it portrays itself as a kind of, like I said before, a drop-dead Fred, but more malicious sort of movie. And then very quickly in the movie, the hints are portrayed that it might be something otherworldly. And when that's revealed, I found it really interesting. The world that Daniel comes from, this kind of trapped castle enclosure or confinement, is really well portrayed on the screen. And this idea of him collecting the kind of death weapons used by previous hosts in these glass cases as a way to kind of highlight all the horrible shit he's done throughout time. I think that's all really cool. So yeah, I really like this movie. I hope you go and check it out. It's one of those ones that I think will find a good audience and probably should. It's one of the better kind of indie titles that I've seen in a wee while. It certainly sits in there with great movies like Headhunter, for example. And it's a good watch. So go and check it out. It's available through Arrow Video in the UK just now. You can buy it. It's out as of Monday last week. So yeah, there's no shortage of copies. If you go to any shop or buy it from Amazon, it is there. It probably is streaming on that Arrow channel that's on Amazon. If that is the case, you get 7 days free with that anyway. So subscribe to that. Watch it and then break your subscription if you don't want to keep it. It's worth checking out, and it's E4/5 from this guy. Right, I'm going to close out the show and I'm doing it right after this.
You're listening to the podcast Under the Stairs.
And you've been listening to the podcast Under the Stairs. This has been bonus episode 223 with a little non-spoiler and spoiler review of Daniel Isn't Real, which is available now from Arrow Video in the UK. The podcast Under the Stairs can be followed, checked out and subscribed to on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, like loads of different places. Basically anywhere that you listen to podcasts, you can check our show out. You can also check out the Teapots Collective by exactly the same thing. Type Teapots Collective into any podcatcher and you should find us there as well. You need to subscribe to that second channel to make sure you get Chronicle, Opera Omnia and Doing the Nasty. That's how you do that, ladies and gents. Our website is teapotscast.com and you can check out all the shows directly over there as well. That's a website for the Teapots Collective, of which Podcast Under the Stairs is the kind of flagship show, and very immensely proud of it we are too. You can buy merch to essentially contribute to this show. We have limited posters and limited pins left. It's teapotscast.bigcartel.com. You can visit us on Facebook on the group page for the podcast Under the Stairs. It's facebook.com/groups/teapotscast. Join fans of the show and fans of horror, most importantly, over there. Alternatively, if you want to check us out as part of the Teapots Collective page, it's facebook.com/teapotscast. You can check out posts for when the shows are dropping or occasionally check out a live stream like a Thirsty Thursday over there. You can interact with myself and the Baz on the twin prongs of social media sexiness, Instagram and Twitter. Both can be followed at TeapotsCast. Check us out in the FlickChat app for the Teapots Collective. Our join code is TeapotsCast. FlickChat can be downloaded free on Android and iOS. Jump across there, create yourself a profile, join our chats, and then there's a series of message boards for each of the shows on either the Teapots Collective or the subsections that we do on Podcasts Under the Stairs. You can mute the ones you're not interested in, join the conversation over there, please. It's social media for podcasters and listeners to connect. The Podcast Under the Stairs will return to you tomorrow, dear listeners, when we do Demons 2 as part of the Arrow video assortment. Until then, wherever you are, what the time zone is, and what you're up to in this big bad world of ours, please take care of yourselves out there. This is Duncan McLeish broadcasting live from Under the Stairs, and I am signing off.